So the shir this week is dedicated by Gabor Zurb. Gabor is somebody who generally attends the shir, but he's off on vacation in a place with very, very poor internet, and he asks that the shir, he has yahrzeit for his father coming up very, very soon, so he asks that the shir be in the memory of his father, Yaakov ben Yosef. So hopefully the words of Torah that we learn should be, serve as an ilui neshama for his father. So let's begin. We're really going to stay on one or two psukim this week's parsha. The parsha has an incredible amount of mitzvot. It has, they claim, I didn't actually count every single one, but it is claimed that there are more mitzvot in Parsha Ki Tetzeh than any other parsha. Anybody with lots of time in their hands, you can go and count. Of course, there's a bit of a trick in that statement, because not everybody agrees how you count the 613 mitzvot. So therefore, depending on who's doing the counting, then that statement would be the more correct or less correct. We'll actually see something in this week's parsha, which that's going to be part of the issue, whether it's counted or not. But I want to start with Perek Kaf Daled Pasuk Tet, the first source, the second pasuk there. Zachor et asher asa Hashem alakecha lemiriam b'derech b'tetcha mimitzrayim. You should remember that which God did to Miriam on the way when you left Egypt. So there's a couple things about this pasuk that we need to pay attention to understand, and see where things are not all that simple. First of all, the episode with Miriam, when exactly does that take place? It's interesting to frame it as B'tzeitcha Mimitzrayim, when you left Egypt. Meaning, is that really the most accurate way of describing it? You could have also said, you know, when you were in the desert, when you were, you know, mentioned the location. The second part of it is, so it says remember. So what do you do with that remember? So those of you who don't remember, there's actually another Zachor in this week's Parsha, and that is the more famous Zachor that gives us Parsha's Zachor. So that is to remember what happened with Amalek. So how exactly do we compare the two of them? We get to the one that has to do with Amalek, and then we're very, very careful. We have to read it, and some shuls will read it more than one time, or they'll read parts of it more than one time. They'll do Zecher, and so on. And by the way, a custom which I can assure you was not practiced by any of the Rishonim. It's a custom which is relatively late. There are Rishonim who said Zecher, and some who said Zecher, but none of them read it twice. So it's a relatively recent phenomenon to read it twice. And then you have shuls where you have people with multiple customs, where you have Sfaritim, Ashkenazim, Yemenites, Temanim, and everyone is going to read it, be very, very machmir. So maybe when we get to this week's parasha, people should also read this pasuk multiple times and be careful, and so on. So what do you do with the Zachar? That's part of it. The second question, or another question that's going to come up, is what exactly is the relationship between the second pasuk and the previous pasuk? The previous pasuk was, Hishomer min binega hatzarat. You should be careful. So I notice the word, the letters shin mem resh, they're going to come up a bunch of times here. Hishomer binega hatzarat. Be careful regarding the plague of tzarat, whatever that is. Well, if you want, we'll call it leprosy. Lishmor ma'od. So now you have not only another lishmor, but ma'od. Lishmor ma'od v'lasot. Kechol asher yeru atchem akonim alaviyim. Everything which is said and all the rulings that you get regarding this of the Kohanim, it's also very interesting, they call Kohanim HaLeviim, which happens occasionally. Tishmaru La'asot. So you see now the word Shamar is multiple times. But then the question that comes up is, so how exactly does this flow into the next pasuk? Because all of us know in the back of our minds someplace that there is apparently some type of a relationship between this obligation regarding remembering Miriam and between something to do with Tzara'at. And again, for a lack of a better term, we'll call it leprosy. So now, where exactly does this association come from? And the answer is that there's a couple of different candidates, but maybe the best candidate is going to be the most obvious one. So let's take a look. It's source number two. But to the Ber Miriam v'Aharon, so also where Aharon fits into all this is intriguing. B'Moshe, alodot isha koshit asher lakach, ki isha koshit lakach. So Miriam spoke to Aaron regarding this woman that he had taken, and I'm not exactly sure how to translate Kushit, and there is intrigue among the Chazal and among the commentaries. Of course, we're very tempted to translate it as literally as something, either somebody from Ethiopia, somebody who's black, or could even be somebody from Midian. There may be a reason to associate that with Kushit. Asher lakach isha Kushit lakach. Now, as much as Rashi tells us the whole problem was that Moshe separated from his wife, that's not really what the verse says, at least the straightforward reading of it. Vayomru harak ach b'Moshe diber Hashem, halo gam banu diber v'yishma Hashem. And God hears, obviously, in an active way. V'yish Moshe anav ma'od, apparently telling us that Moshe was so modest that he wasn't troubled that they were speaking about him. Mikol adam asher al p'nei adamah. Moshe was more modest than any person, so this, therefore he wasn't particularly troubled by this. V'yom Hashem pitom b'Moshe v'aron v'el Miriam tzu shloshetchem ala omod, which also then raises the probability that Moshe was there with them as they spoke, and Moshe overhears this. And they all go out. And God says, "Shimu na devarai." You know, listen up, good. Now, what exactly is God referring to? Is one of the things that Miriam says is "Hello, gam banu diber," meaning, right, is God, is Moshe the only one that God spoke to? God spoke to us as well. So God's response is, well, the way I speak to Moshe is not the way that I speak to you. Okay, Navdi Moshe. Bekol beiti nemanu. Pe'al pe daber bo. Umarei velo bechidot utmunat Hashem yabit. Umadu lo yereitem l'daber b'avdi Moshe. Why weren't you a little more afraid to speak about my servant Moshe? V'yichar af Hashem bam. God was upset with them, with Aaron and with Miriam. V'yelach. And Miriam became as white as snow. So I want to pause there for a second. So the desire to say that maybe Kushit actually means black, and therefore there are racist undertones, that Miriam complains that Moshe married a black woman, and now, oh, you like white, therefore she becomes as white as snow. There's a weakness to everything I just now said, even if you like it. There is a weakness to it. You'll give me a little bit of time, and I'll point out what the weakness is. But this does establish the relationship between misspeaking, which for lack of a better term right now, I don't know what to call it. You want to call it Lashon Hara? I'm not sure what you want to call it. You want to call it Motzi Shemra? So, and Sarat. Now, there is a preference for Motzi Shemra because it has this similarity to Mitzarat, Motzi Shemra, it's the tune or the sound, which has some kind of similarity, something which Chazal actually liked. So she becomes struck with tzara'at. So now, for a moment, you go back to our first source. He shamer b'nega hatzara'at. You know, be very careful about nega hatzara'at. And then going right into, and zacharat asher asasha Hashem alakech la Miriam. So now, be careful about tzara'at, and remember what God did to Miriam. So therefore, instead of doing what I did initially, was reading that verse by itself, the second one, remembering Miriam by itself, now you see why exactly one would be very tempted to read the two verses together, because the narrative with Miriam actually includes both of these elements. To continue a little bit more, Aaron then, you know, accepts what God says, and instead of praying by himself, he turns to Moshe and says, "Moshe, please pray." And I think we sometimes miss that point. Is God said Moshe is so great, so Aaron says, "Ve'am Aaron Moshe, bi Adoni al nata sheta leinu chatata shenalnu va'asher chatanu al nati kemet asher betzetu mirechem imo." And it's also very interesting, the reference of Rechem, Miriam, the old, this woman who was this, tried to help bring children into the world, and the association between Shifra and Pur and Miriam Yocheved, v'yochel chatzi b'saro, v'yitzak Moshe el Hashem le'mor el na rafa na la. So Moshe says this very, very brief prayer, and God responds, v'yomer shem Moshe, v'aviyo yarok yarak b'paneh lo tigala shivat yamim, tisager shivat yamim michutz l'machaneh v'achar tiyasef. And he says, listen, we can wait a little bit. She needs to be isolated. She needs to be outside of the camp, which follows, you know, some of the rules regarding mitzvah. But tisager miyam mechutz l'machaneh shivat yamim, and she was then locked outside of the camp. Va'am lo nasa ad asef Miriam, and that caused the whole traveling to pause, and everyone waited for Miriam. So when it tells us to remember the episode of Miriam, what exactly does the Torah want us to do? Is it just, did we just now fulfill this by reading that episode? Which is, also you get to Parshat Zachar. So what should you read? Should you read Parshat Zachar or should you read the Milchemet Amalek, which takes place in Bishalach? Now, we obviously follow the custom to read Parshat Zachar, although I think some of us know that if you missed it, then they say that if you just have in mind when they read the one from Bishalach, which actually read Purim morning, so that would fulfill the obligation of Parshat Zachar as well. So this is interesting when the Torah tells us to remember and how that's related to the Hishamer. So let's take a look at Rashi. And I'm particularly interested in what the focus is, and I want to explain that. Is the focus going to be more on the Lashon Hara aspect of this, and therefore what Miriam did? Or is it going to be more focused on the Tzara'at and what happened to her? I mean, if you want, I'll read the verses one more time. Hishamer b'negat Tzara'at. So the focus is on Tzara'at. L'shmor ma'od v'lasod. You know, be very careful about this. And again, tishmeru la'atzod. Right? Be very careful. Zacharet asher asah Hashem Elokech l'Miriam b'derech tzetz Mitzrayim. So therefore, even though I read that independently at first, maybe I was completely wrong to read it independently. Maybe Pasuk Tet absolutely follows Pasuk Chet and is just one example of why you need to be so careful about Chet. So therefore, is the issue really one of Tzara'at, or is the issue really one of Lashon Hara? If that sounds like a fair way of dividing between the two. So let's take a look at Rashi in source number 3. Zachor et asher asah Hashem Elokecha l'Miriam. Im bata li zaher shalot tilakeh b'tzara'at, al tesaper lashon hara. Zachor asui l'Miriam, shedibra ba achiha, v'lakta b'nega'im. So now tell me the truth. When you read through this Rashi, if I would not have given the whole introduction, you would have thought that the main focus over here is certainly one of lashon hara. But when you read Rashi a little more carefully, I think you end up getting the conclusion that it's not Lashon Hara which is his focus, but his focus is make sure you don't get Tzara'at. Now, of course, you're going to tell me that maybe this is an unfair division. Maybe it's not really right to divide between these two things, between Tzara'at and between Lashon Hara. But nonetheless, Rashi seems to be telling us that the focus is you don't want Tzara'at. Now, why would Rashi focus on that instead of the problem Lashon Hara? Because he read that first pasuk. He shamer, lishmor ma'od, tishmeru la'asot, and so on. So therefore, the emphasis seems to be on the Tzara'at, and the Lashon Hara of Miriam is only one particular example. Oh, look what happens where somebody can end up with Tzara'at. The Ibn Ezra, which may not be typical of the Ibn Ezra, who's, you know, very often very much a Pashtan, and you can decide how you want to read this. L'Miriam, hinei ra'aya al drash al tikri mitzora elamotzi shemra. He goes, here is evidence, I guess that's how you would translate ra'aya, here's evidence for the rabbinic interpretation, don't call it mitzora, call it motzi shemra. Now, there is something a little bit ironic about the association with Motzi Shemra over here in this particular case. I don't want to overly go into the laws of Lashon Hara. I mean, you know that most women shiurim are either on Tznius or Lashon Hara. So therefore, if I talk too much about Lashon Hara, then you'll accuse me of giving me a woman's share today. So I would not want to be accused. I guess I just said Lashon Hara. See that? So I don't want to be accused of doing that. But at least on a technical level, there is a difference between Lashon Hara, Rechilut, Motzi Shemra. Now, Motzi Shemra happens to be in Parshat Ki Tetzeh. There is an example of Motzi Shemra. And that is the person who makes certain claims about his new bride. So therefore, it's really interesting to say, oh, this proves this rabbinic. Hold it. That's Motzi Shemra. Is this example of what Miriam did necessarily Motzi Shemra or not? So I'm not going to answer that question, but you understand why the Ibn Ezra went there. And again, he's not the only one. What made him go there is because she ends up with Tzara'at. And Tzara'at is connected by Chazal with Motzi Shemra. Mitzora and Motzi Shemra just sort of sounds like it goes together. So therefore, Miri must have been guilty of his Motzi Shemra, even though if you want, I'll give you homework, and that is to learn the entire Sefer of the Chafetz Chaim. If you want, you can learn the Shari Tshuva as well. and then you'll come back and you'll tell me, you know, is this actually Motzi Shemra or not? I'm not giving you any answer to this right now. I'm just raising that question. But again, it is ironic because Motzi Shemra is in this week's Parsha, and this isn't it. There's a different example of what Motzi Shemra is, but again, we all have some license when it comes to interpretations. The Bechor Shor says, source 5, Zechor et asher asa Hashem lekech lemiryam, sheita achot ha-melech v'kohen gadol, shenizkor achutz l'machaneh. So what's his point? That even the greatest of people, the one with the most, the phrase in modern Hebrew is protexia. Even the person with the greatest amount of protexia can still, right? That's what they say. If you have connections, you don't need protexia. Even the person with the greatest amount of protexia can still find themselves, if they're guilty of Lashon Hara, they can find themselves michutz l'machaneh. So therefore, the example of Miriam is not because this is the quintessential example of somebody misspeaking. It rather, it creates a kal v'chomer. That if she, and by the way, this interpretation really comes from Chazal, we'll see how much of the source we want to read, but again, it's a very succinct the way that the Bechor Shor puts it. Shadal says Zachor Tashar Asar Shem Lekech LeMiryam, Zachor ki et Sarat einena kishar chalaim. That Sarat is not a natural phenomenon. It's not a regular illness. Aval hi maka elokit. This is a divine, which if you really want to say it, I'm tempted to say it a little differently. This is an example of God micromanaging the world and giving somebody an affliction, which is not something which goes in a normative way, but it is rather something which is completely divine. Kimo shreita b'Miriam, al kein yesh lecha l'shmor ma'od, ha-mishpatim shechakakti lecha b'inyan zeh. That he says that, no, God micromanages the world as we see by Miriam. So it's again, it's interesting. Zachor tasher sachalach elokech l'Miriam, remember that God micromanages the world and God is going to give punishments when God sees fit, which actually, if you pay attention to it, I'm not convinced that Tzara'at is now the main, again, I keep saying you have to pay attention to what is the main issue. That according to Shadal, I don't think that the Tzara'at is the main issue, but it's an example of how God could get involved when he chooses to and give a punishment, which is divine punishment. So we're going to look at a couple of Midrashim. First, Midrash Halacha, Midrash Tanaim. And it goes a little bit more in depth into going back for a moment into the Pasuk. Zechor et asher asa Hashem lekech lemiryam b'derech b'tzir mitzrayim. So what exactly does the Zechor do for you as opposed to the Hishamer, Lishmor Ma'od, and Tishmeru Lasot, which means you have Hishamer on the one hand, and you have Zechor on the other hand, and how do those two elements work together if in fact they do? Zechor, the Midrash writes, Yachol b'libcha. Perhaps you would think that Zechor means in your heart, which, by the way, which means internalize, remember something. You can say in your heart, in your mind, which means internalize this. Kishu omer, he shamer. So now notice what he did. He goes, but when it said he shamer, so now before we go any further, the first thing which is important is the Midrash Tanaim is reading those two verses together. They're not separated. He says, when it says zachar, you say it could be libcha, but that's what he shamer meant. When it said, be careful is something which is in the heart. It's something which you have to verbalize or articulate. Now that itself is very interesting. We'll see which of the Rishonim is going to pick up on this. What exactly are the implications? I'm not exactly sure. But notice what he did. Again, one more time. He read the two verses together. He shamer meant internalized, so therefore zachor must be something which is more active. And being more active, you know, like Kiddush. Zachor et yom Shabbat l'kadsho, we get from that we say Kiddush. So again, let's wait on that one. As I'll say it again, we'll see which one of the Rishonim will take us in that direction. V'chima inyan zeh l'zeh. What does one do the other? Again, those two different verses. L'lamdecha she'ena negayim ba'im ela ala maher achar hazakinim. Now that is fascinating what he did, is that he looked into the story of Miriam, said, what exactly did Miriam do? Miriam, she questioned or double-guessed Moshe, or second-guessed Moshe. So if you second-guess Moshe, but by the way, it's not lashon hara at this point. Rather, anybody who second guesses one of the zakenim, certainly the prototypical zaken Moshe, that's where nagaim come from. The ella omer lashon hara, and that is introducing as a second point. Notice now, not motzi shemra, but lashon hara. V'ella omer lashon hara, v'lodim kal v'chomer. Uma im Miriam oto atzadeket, kach ne'ensha. If Miriam, who was a tzadeket, she got punished for this, acherim alachet kama v'chama. So we saw this kal v'chomer before, and by the way, he's going to continue a little bit more with other elements of why it's a kal v'chomer. He gives three or four more points to this. Not all of them are easily understood, by the way, but we're just going to pause and move on to the next point, and that is the Midrash and Dvarim Rabbah. Dover Acher, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Einan Nagoyim Boim El Lashon Hara. So again, Lashon Hara. Rabbanan Amar Teda Alacha, Shenagim Baim El Lashon Hara, Hare Miriam HaTzadeket. And by the way, I hope that you like this as much as I do, that the various Midrashim, even though she's guilty, and even though there was divine punishment, they can't reference her without having respect. By the way, just think about the previous midrash. It said, why was she punished? Because she didn't have proper respect for one of the elders. So how can anybody say anything negative about Miriam and out of respect for her after saying that that's one of the reasons over here? Rather, it's Miriam HaTzadeket. Ayedei Shedibra Lashon Hara B'Moshe Achia. Kervo Ba Negaim. That she said something about her brother Moshe, and that's why Negaim came. Minayin Shenemar Zachar Tashar Samachecha Miriam. The Midrash continues this theme of attacking somebody who's greater than you. Shekol misha megis et libo ledaber begadol mimenu. So again, it's not just the Lashon Hara. It's the disrespect of the person who's greater. Gorim la'atzmo shekervu bo et negaim. He's going to cause themselves to get negaim. Hare Miriam atzadeket siman la'kol balei Lashon Hara. And that should teach you for all people, and therefore, and that's what it means. Again, implied over here is the kal v'chomer that we saw in the other source. You're not greater than Miriam, and she loves her brother, and she thought she was being constructive, and nonetheless, she got punished. Be very, very careful with lashon hara. So that's pretty much what comes out of this. The Targum Yonatan does one twist to this that I want to address. And we'll see if we have any chance to come back to this. In the very beginning, again, if we go back to Pasuk Tet, the very end of the Pasuk wasn't clear to us. Remember, Baderech B'tzedcha Mitzrayim. Remember what happened with her along the way? Well, you know, if we're a little more sophisticated, what happened along the way? We stopped. We were supposed to be marching along, but we stopped. Why did we stop? Because we had to wait for Miriam. So that stopping and waiting is exactly what the Targum Yonatan writes. And he says, we'll just note the Aramaic and then we'll go to the Hebrew. V'it akavt ba'orcha. You were delayed. Source 10, we'll read the Targum Yonatan back in Hebrew. Hayu zeirim shalodach shod achad b'chavero. So this is fascinating. Because instead of saying the problem is lashon hara, he turned it instead into the substance of it. A person should not be suspicious of somebody, and I'm using that the word l'chshod in it actually in a too specific sense, but leave that be for the moment. Shelo yilka, right? So in order that you not get struck. Hayuzochim mashasa Hashem alakechem leMiriam shechashda leMoshe. By the way, if you're not so sure about the Aramaic, that's what he writes. Havu zirim delo lemechshad chad bechavrei. Right, remember the Miriam dechashda leMoshe b'dvar shelo yabo v'lakta b'tzarat, and she was stuck b'tzarat v'itakva b'derech b'tzedchem Mitzrayim, and therefore the whole leaving and traveling along the way got delayed. So we actually got a couple of interesting things, but I'm not sure about you. This immediately in my mind set off an association, which we'll see in the Gemara, and then you'll see how relevant this Gemara really is. The Gemara is in Shabbat. What happened right beforehand is that Rabbi Akiva had identified Tzolovchad as the Mekoshesh. Then the Gemara says, Kiyotze b'davar, and he was attacked for this. And then it says, Kiyotze b'davar, a similar thing, Ata omer v'yichar af Hashem bam v'yilach. Now, we're in 11 now. We're going to just go back to the story of Miriam again. In source number 2, when God tacks Miriam and Aaron, what does the Pasuk say? Pasuk Tet, V'yichar af Hashem bam v'yelach, and God's anger burned against them. It's always interesting, right? Aaron gets away with everything. Aaron is the Teflon man in Tanakh. He gets away somehow with the Chet Egel. He gets away somehow with this as well. But God is upset with both of them. So now go back to the Gemara. Rabbi Akiva said, right? Ki yotze v'dav ata omer v'yichar af Hashem bam v'ylech milamed sha'af Aaron nitzara. So Rabbi Akiva says that Aaron also got sarat. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Omer Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira Akiva. Bein kach u bein kach, atad liten et adin. Whether you're right or whether you're wrong, you have to pay for this. Im kedverecha, if you're right, hatorah kisato vatamagaleoto, the Torah covered it up and didn't want us to know that Aaron got struck as well. And you reveal it, the imlav, but if you're wrong about it, atam motzilaz alto tzadik, you're claiming that he got punished. But by the way, Rabbi Kiv is correct that it says that God was upset with both of them. And otherwise, you do have a question. Although, perhaps you can theorize that she did the speaking, he only did the listening, and perhaps there's a difference. The elaktiv bam, ahu benezifa ba'alma, means that God was upset with both of them. Tanya commander Amar af Aaron, it's dara. And there's a further teaching which would support that Aaron was struck as well. It's a vifen Aaron umayam, viname it sarat. Tana shapana. That he turns from his own pain. So therefore, it's again, it's the way it's reading the verse, is that Aaron as well had sarat. Amar Reish Lakish, hachoshed b'ksherim loke begufo. Whoever is guilty. Now this sounds like a complete non sequitur, have nothing to do with what we just now read. Hachoshed b'ksherim. What does hachoshed b'ksherim mean? That somebody who casts aspersions on somebody who's innocent, hachoshed b'ksherim, that you cast aspersions on somebody who's kosher, loke begufo, you get struck in your body, dichtiv v'lo yaminuli, because it says they're not going to believe me. V'galya kamei kudshu b'richu d'mahamne Yisrael, and God knew that they would believe him. Amr lo, hein ma'minim b'nei ma'minim, the Jewish people are believers, the children believers. Now, if you don't know the context yet, I hope that you do, but if you don't, give me a second. Vata insof chalamin. And Moshe, you're the one who's going to get into trouble with belief. Hein ma'minin dichtei v'yameinam. They believed, as it says, the people believed. B'nai ma'minim v'amin ba'ashem. Ata insof chalamin, and you're going to get caught up in disbelief. Shenemar ya'an lohim antem bi. Right after Moshe hits the rock, instead of speaking to it, God says, of course, you didn't believe in me. Mimai delaka. How do you know that Moshe was struck? Tichtiv, as it says, Vayomer Shamlo, O Revina Yadcha Bechekecha. Put your hand inside now. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, don't worry. Sefer Shemot is going to be back before you even know it. In source number 12, Moshe is by the Sneh, and God told him to go, and Moshe keeps coming up with excuses why not to go. Vayan Moshe Vayomer, Vehin Lo Yaminuli. They're not going to believe me. Velo Yishmu Bekoli. They're going to say, God didn't reveal himself to you. So now the first thing, what do you have in your hand? By the way, if you just want to continue along the same theme, the serpent was the very first thing that misspoke and misused language. Moshe over here is going to be accused of some type of Lashon Hara, so the serpent is the first one. Unless you want to say that was really Motzi Shemra, but you'll see how we get into trouble when we try to categorize this too carefully. Moshe sees the serpent and runs away, which then very much would be back to the serpent in Eden, who misspeaks. So we can skip to the next verse. Take your hand and stick it inside, right inside your cloak. Kishaleg, and Moshe's hand was as white as snow. So that's the reason that I'd rather not interpret the Miriam episode having to do with any kind of interpretation of racism, that because she said that he married somebody black, she becomes white as snow. Then you'd have to be consistent and ask, why does it describe Moshe as being white as snow? This has nothing to do with it. So therefore, I feel that, you know, as tempting as it may be, you would need consistency in both cases. Rather, it seems to be that when somebody misspeaks, when somebody is guilty of Lashon Hara, or the way that the Gemara put it, that somebody who's choshed b'ksherim, somebody who casts aspersions on those who are pure, those who are kosher, they get struck in their body. Now, what's interesting about that is if we now go back again to that Targum, what the Targum Yonatan just now did for us. It took a Gemara that was talking about Moshe's guilt in terms of casting aspersions on the Jewish people and getting tzarat, and it read it into the Miriam story, saying, oh, what it is that she really did, she was guilty of casting aspersions about Moshe. So just take a look one more time now at source number 10. Again, this is a translation of Pasuk Tet. Hayuzihirim shalolukhshod achad b'chavero shloyuka. Again, read back the Pasuk. What did the Pasuk say? Right, all the way back to the beginning, Pasuk Ted. Zochorot asher asa Hashem lekech leMiriam. Remember what God did to Miriam, b'derech tzeit to Mitzrayim, when he left Egypt. So now look at the way the Targum Yonatan is reading it. Hayuzirim shelo lechshod achad b'chaveru shelo yuka. Right, it didn't even right. Hayuzochrim masha asa Hashem lekechem leMiriam shachashda leMoshe b'divar shelo hayabo. That again, it's not that she spoke lashon hara, which is the problem. It's what she said. It's the fact that she cast aspersions on Moshe, which really takes us a bit away from Lashon Hara, even though, if you tell me I'm working too hard to make this separation, I accept it. V'lakta b'tzarat, which means the language over here is very reminiscent of that Gemara in Shabbat. V'tagfa b'derech b'tzeit Mitzrayim. Okay. Now we'll look at the Ramban. I hinted about the Ramban a couple of times, but now we'll see what the Ramban does with all this. First he quotes Rashi. Right? Make sure that you have to make sure you don't get tzarat, so don't speak lashon hara. Ulafidati, shehi mitzvatasei mamash. It's not just be careful that you don't get tzarat and therefore don't speak lashon hara. He says no. Kimo zochorot yom haShabbat lekadsho. Zochorot to yom haZeh asher yetzatim Mitzrayim. Zochorot asher asa lecha Amalek. Kula mitzvah. Imkin ze kimotam. Which means the Ramban is saying that the terminology, the turn of phrase, when the Torah gives you a directive and it says zohar, the Ramban says, why in the world would you read this zohar different from every other zohar? And all the others would seem, at least the way the Ramban is reading it, to generate some type of an obligation. This one also is a mitzvah. V'hi azhara miladaber lashon hara. He says, this is the mitzvah not to speak lashon hara. Yitzaveh b'mitzvah taseh, sheneskor onish hagadol shasa Hashem l'tzadeket hanaviyah. He goes, this is a positive commandment. We need to remember what happened, again, even to this woman who is a prophet and she's a tzadeket. Shelo dibra ele ba'achia. She spoke about a brother. Gemul chazda, one who she performed great chesed to. Asher avato kinafsha, who she loved like her own soul. Velo dibra b'fanav sheyavosh. And she didn't speak in front of him because she didn't want to embarrass him, which again is, he got that from the Sifri. I just don't know how that works with the pasuk so easily. For love of Nerabim, and she didn't say it publicly. She only said it to Aaron, her holy brother Aaron, secretly. The komasetavim lo ilua, and all the good deeds she didn't help. Gamata im teshev b'achicha tiber b'ven imecha. Right. The rest of that is also from the Sifri. So it's very strange, according to the Ramban, to explain this verse in any other way other as saying that this is a positive commandment. Now, earlier when we saw the Midrash Halacha, what did it say? Zachor means to verbalize it. So now you realize the Ramban is telling us this is like the other Zachars. There's no difference over here. You need to verbalize it. V'lashon sifra, k'shu omer v'lo tasu et kol mitzvot ha'ele, and again, I'm going to skip a lid, ha'amani mekayem, zachor she'shone b'ficha. You need to say it out loud. V'chinu omer zachor al tishkach. V'chinu omer zachor t'asher Hashem alakach l'miriam. Yochol b'libcha, again, he's quoting Chazal, maybe you would think just in your heart, k'shu omer hishamer, right, we saw this before. When it said hishamer b'nega, that's in your heart. Ha'amani mekayem zachor she'shone b'ficha. V'cheinu omer zachor t'asher asar l'cha amalek. Yochol b'libcha, k'shomer lo tishkach, harei shechat halev amura. So essentially, he turns this obligation of zachor, of the episode of Miriam, into an equivalent of remembering the story of Amalek, which would be to be one half of a step away to say that we, just like we have Parshat Zachar regarding Amalek, we should have a Parshat Zachar regarding the story, and that should tell us that we shouldn't speak Lashon Hara. And the very end he writes, V'zo mitzvat mechlal taryag mitzvot, this is one of the 613 mitzvot, V'shachacha bal halachot gedolot v'kol hamonim ha-mitzvot acharav. And he says, what can you do? The Bahag and all of the people that count the mitzvot blew it in the Ramban's estimation because they forgot this mitzvah. And he says, this is a mitzvah naseh. So I said that was one of the problems of counting how many mitzvot are in this week's parsha, because not everybody would agree what you count and what you don't count. But nonetheless, the Ramban says everybody else missed it. The Ramban, I just have to stress this, it's very rare, if ever, I've seen that you can catch the Ramban on something which is clear and written and obvious. We're going to catch the Ramban in a moment. But the thing is, we're going to catch him, it's going to be so blatant that he's going to have a very good explanation that we're going to have to try to figure out, which maybe I will, maybe I won't. But first, let me, we'll bring the Brisker Rav into it, and then we'll get to, and then we'll, of course, from the Brisker Rav, get to a Rambam. First, source 14. Source 14 is Hasagot Ramban L'Sefer Mitzvot, Mitzvot Aseh Sheshachachan, number Zayin. He goes, here's the seventh mitzvah that the Rambam missed in his counting of the Taryag Mitzvot. Nitztaveinu L'Skor B'Peh U'Lashiv Alibeinu Masha Aseh Yitaleh L'Miriam. So he says, you need to verbalize and say what God said to Miriam. What happened to Miriam? You need to talk about this. And he goes through much of what we just now saw in the Ramban. The only difference over here is, over here he's speaking about this as an obligation, and he actually builds it up a little bit. Let me just look exactly the place where the turn of phrase that I'm looking for. He says that this is so severe because at times when one speaks Lashon Hara, it can end up it could be compared almost to bloodshed. Let me just give me a second. He ends up this, I'm saying this needs to be one of the 613 mitzvot, and again, he is not sure why it was forgotten. Yeah, look back four lines before the bottom of source 13. Ve'ech yitachein shelashon hara shu shakul kishvichat damim lo tia bo b'torah lo taseh gamor. You know, what he's referring to is that when you embarrass somebody or say Lashon Hara about somebody, it's compared to killing them. So he says, how can this not be a bona fide one of the Taryag Mitzvah? Although I think a lot of us can answer and say, excuse me, killing somebody is not exactly the same as Lashon Hara, but the Ramban doesn't think that's the case. Okay. Source 15 is the Brisker Rav, the Griz, and the Revelvel, and he writes, B'gemara negayim boyin Lashon Hara. He goes, you know, we're told in the Gemara that Nagoyim come, which in Sarat comes because of Lashon Hara. V'nei b'Rambam, manah halav v'Lashon Hara, lo t'lech v'chiyo b'mecha. The Rambam counts this as one of the Taryag Mitzvot, using a different pasuk, lo t'lech v'chiyo b'mecha. Don't go around as a gossiper in your people. Aval ha-Ramban manah hishamer b'nagat ha-Tzarat v'zachor b'masa Miriam. The Ramban counts the same mitzvah, but he counts it regarding the episode of Miriam. So I just want to pause a second. When the Ramban says that it's shocking that nobody else counts it, look what the Brisker Rav just now did for us. He goes, yeah, same mitzvah. The Rambam counts it here. He counts it over there. The Ramban counts it there, and essentially the same thing. Now, when the Ramban says nobody else counts it, as I said, we're going to have to figure out exactly what he meant by that. And not only is this not a shir in Lashon Hara, it's also not a shir in Halacha. So there is a limit on how far I'm going to go right now to explain it. But first, for a moment, let's just look at what the Rambam does do. So in order to understand the Rambam, we'll need to see the pasuk. Source 16. Lo telech rechil b'amecha, lo tamar adam reyacha ni Hashem. So that phrase, or half a phrase, lo telech rechil b'amecha, don't go around as a gossiper or so, or a rochel as a peddler. Don't be a peddler of information. The Rambam, Sefer Mitzvot, and again, remember, the Ramban says, you missed it. Everybody missed this. He shezihernu miragel, v'hu amru lo telech rechil b'amecha. Amru lo tia rak b'dvarim l'zeh v'kosh l'zeh. Dvar acher lo tia ki rochel kimatim dvarim v'holech. U'beklau lav zeh azhara mihotza'at shemra. That this tells us that you shouldn't be guilty of motzi shemra, which means the Rambam, again, he has this as a more robust mitzvah, as he does sometimes. He thinks the verse means a couple of different things, but he says that included in this mitzvah is the mitzvah of what we would call lashon hara. The Rambam in source 18 sounds suspiciously similar to the Ramban. Hamargel b'chaveiro over belota se shenemer lo telech rechil b'amecha. V'af al pi she'ein lo kina lavze avon gadlu v'gorim lo horig nefeshot rabot b'Yisrael. It causes the spilling of blood. L'kach nesmach lo tamor adam reyacha. And therefore it's connected to this lo tamor adam reyacha. He goes on, he talks about lashon hara and motzi shemra and all that's in halacha bet. If you need a bit of a definition, what are the differences between them? But it's very interesting. The Ramban says, oh, you know, nobody else counted it, but the Ramban does count it. I'll explain the distinction in a second. I think that what the Ramban said that everyone else missed is when he's comparing it to Parshat Zachar regarding Amalek, that we actually have a mitzvah of reading the Torah and of verbalizing it, which means as opposed to perhaps just thinking about it, which means for the Rambam, Lashon Hara is an absolute prohibition. For the Ramban, not just that Lashon Hara is a prohibition, but there's a mitzvah of Zachar, to remember it, that needs to be verbalized. That's the mitzvah that he says. Which means when the Brisker Rav says, oh, the two of them have the same mitzvah, and he has it from that pasuk, he has it from that pasuk, it's not exactly the same. It's not the same obligation. Which means, you know, I don't know how many of you read the six zichronot at the end of davening that you can find in some sidurim. The Ramban would probably be the one saying, no, you need to read those. How often? I don't know. But you need to actually verbalize those. I just want to, for here already, to point out one more thing, and then we're going to get to a deeper understanding of why the Rambam didn't use this verse in the way that the Ramban wanted him to. But give me a second on that. But first I want to point something out. When we started today, the question that I had is, what exactly is the relationship or the interrelationship between the episode of Miriam and Sarat? But when we look in source, again, in that pasuk, which is found in source 16, lo telech rechil b'amecha, lo tamar adam reyacha. What's the relationship? Now, we notice the Rambam brought the two of them together, that one leads to the other. I want to point out something which is in Rav Chaim Volozhin. I don't know how often we learn things from Rav Chaim Volozhin, but it's very important. And we'll see he's not the first or the only one to say it, but I want you to see first that he said it. Shemati b'shem agon Rav Chaim Volozhin, lo telech rechil b'amecha, lo tamar adam reyacha. Right? Don't go around as a gossiper and don't stand on someone's blood. B'mokom sheyesh l'saper lashon hara. There are times you need to say lashon hara. Hanimnami l'saper. If you don't say it, over lo tamar adam reyacha, then you'll be guilty of standing in your brother's blood. That there are times that you need to say things. I mean, it happens, unfortunately, in the Jewish community, and probably other places as well, but we're big at tzaddikim, that there's somebody who has done something where people need to be informed. But we're tzaddikim. You don't want to ruin someone's reputation. Who am I? I don't want to say Lashon Hara, and so on. So we're machmer and dini Lashon Hara. But look what Chaim Volozhin just now said. He said there's a reason this isn't one pasuk. It says, lo telech rochel, and I want to be a little bit deeper. What is a rochel? It is a peddler of information who goes from place to place to place to place. That is not allowed. But the way even the Chafetz Chaim described it as litoelet, you don't go around to everybody give, no, but there's people or someone who needs to know this information. That's not being a rochel. That's not being a peddler. That is being very, very specific. And this is a law which, unfortunately, very often gets trampled upon by what I would call false righteousness. I'm going to be a tzaddik in Lashon Hara, but I'm going to end up standing on people's blood. And again, the words of Chaim Volozhin, I think, are quite powerful. If we look, and again, as I said, I don't want to get too much, you know, sidetracked on this. Look at the Netziv, right, who's married to the granddaughter of Rav Chaim Volozhin, source 23, Davar, on the pasuk lo telech sha'af agav sha'az hara lo telech rechil mikol makom lo tamar adam reyacha. Nonetheless, don't stand on someone's blood. Haynu im yodeya sha'ish achad rotze le'ered l'chayev shal adam acher. You know someone's in danger. Harezim achuyev lo diya va'asur lamar adam reyacha. There are times that you need to speak. It's not just achronim who do this. Source 24 and 25 are rishonim. The Riva, Baliatosis, the Chizkuni, they do the same thing, not in the exact same way, but they mainly focus on testimony. If you're aware of testimony, then you have to speak. It's not Lashon Hara. Yesh Mefarshim, Lo Telech Rechil Ba'Mecha, in source 24, Afal Pishis His Harticha Al Lashon Hara, even though you've been warned regarding Lashon Hara, Lo Tamar Adam Reyacha Shimata, Omer Lecha Adam Acher Shergenu, right? You know that someone else wants to kill somebody. Don't say, oh, I'm not allowed to say anything. It's Lashon Hara. What are you talking about? You can save somebody's life. Then, of course, you need to speak. And again, the Chizkuni is similar. The Siftei Kohen does a similar thing, but at the very end he writes, Va'alzeh Amar Shlomo, regarding situations that telling somebody is going to be beneficial, and not it's not Lashon Hara. They need to know this. Va'alze amar Shlomo al tiet tzadik harbe lomo shehi rechilut. Don't be a big tzadik and say, I'm not going to say anything. He goes, that's what Shlomo said, al tiet tzadik harbe, which means it is this juxtaposition of lo telech rechil b'mecha v'lo tamar adam reyacha. In fact, he goes on to say that it's actually, let me just see, okay, one of the Mefarshim say it's written together in one pasuk because it is one idea. The last thing I want to get to today is an explanation going back to the Rambam. So what was the Rambam thinking? If you look at source 28, I know we skipped 27, we have the various things that we're supposed to remember. Yetziat Mitzrayim, which is pretty important. Har Sinai, which is pretty important. Amalek, which again has become pretty important. Remember the travels in the desert. Remember Mary. Remember Shabbos. If I have to look at all of these things, there is an inequality between them. They're not exactly all the same. Shabbat, we can look in one way. I would say, Yetziat Mitzrayim, Har Sinai. Those are easier to understand. Remember that episode of Miriam is not exactly clear why that is such a tantamount mitzvah that needs to be stated. So I want to read something from Rav Soloveitchik, and then I'll explain it. It's something which, if you ask me, I'll send you to the exact shiur. You can listen to him saying this rather than getting it from whoever wrote it up and in a book. And one of the books that has come out more recently, it's called Vision and Leadership in Source 30. So let's take a look, and he explains the episode of Miriam. And he does this, the shiur that I had heard was called something to the effect, Chet Miriam and the Meraglim. He wove the two of those episodes together. Miriam and Aaron did not grasp the incommensurability of Moses' prophecy with that of other prophets. Moses spent 40 days and nights on Sinai where he did not eat or drink. He belonged to a different existential order of creation, one where the logos and ethos of other prophets do not apply. Their sin was in not understanding that he was the prophet, sui generis, singular, unparalleled, unmatched. Not so, my servant Moshe, lo kein avdi Moshe, based on God's words to Miriam and Aaron. Maimonides codified the principle of the uniqueness of Mosaic prophecy, both in Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah and his 13th principles of faith. So, let me explain exactly what it is that he said over here. He said, if instead of reading the Sheish Zichronot, we go back to the Ani Mamin, which is a certain approximation of the Rambam's 13 principles. So in Source 27, we have one of the articles of belief or faith. Ani Mamin b'mun shlema shekol divrei nevi'im emet. I believe all prophets are true. So then number seven, Ani Ma'amin B'Emuna Shleima Shenevuat Moshe Rabbeinu Lo Vashal Ma'amitit. I believe that Moshe's prophecy is true. Now, why do I need to say that if I already just said I believe all the prophets? Moshe is one of the prophets. If Moshe is one of the prophets, I believe all the prophets. I believe in Moshe. But it continues, V'shuhoya Avlu Nevi'im L'Kodmim L'Fanav L'Obim Acharav, that Moshe is the greatest prophet. What Rav Soloveitchik just now claimed, now the only difference which with the shir that I had heard him say is he said this in the name of his grandfather, the name of Reb Chaim. He said that according to Reb Chaim, the episode of Miriam was not an episode merely about Lashon Hara. And remembering the episode of Miriam was not remembering that she spoke Lashon Hara. It had nothing to do with that. It was rather the content. The content is, what did she say? What, Moshe's a prophet? I'm also a prophet. We're also prophets. We're all the same. Because what was God's answer? No, you're not the same. So essentially, what Reb Chaim, again, you can either quote it from the Reb Chaim, but I remember the Rav quoting from Reb Chaim, that he said, Reb Chaim is saying, from the answer that God says, you understand what the problem was. Miriam says, we're also prophets, and God says, you're not also prophets. There's a different level over here. Now, the truth is, if you notice the Sefri that I read before, some, and even the Targum Yonatan, somebody who, you know, does, takes away the level of somebody else. Somebody attacks somebody greater than them. That was all there in the Midrash Halacha. What Reb Chaim is saying, no, this is an article of faith. What a Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, that Miriam saw that Moshe is special, but eventually she said, you know, we're in the same league. Moshe Rabbeinu is not in the same league. Moshe was the goat, right? Maybe we'll call that this year. Moshe was the goat. That's exactly what Reb Chaim is saying. Moshe was the greatest of all time, but you can't compare. And that's why you have two different articles of faith according to the Rambam. One is, I believe in Nevuah. The other, I believe the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is greater than any other Nevuah. If we go back now and take a look at the Rambam that I just now skipped, the Rambam writes in Source 29, called Rabbi Shemarno in Derech Nevuah Lekol Neviim Rishon Vachronim Chutz Mimoshe Rabbeinu Rabban Shel Kol Neviim Ma Hefrishesh. So then he goes and he goes, no, Moshe is different. And what pasuk does he write? He goes into this whole episode over here that God spoke to Miriam, right? God, right? Ma Hefrishesh Beinu Vot Moshe L'Shar Neviim Shekol Neviim B'Chalom B'Mayah UMoshe Rabbeinu Hu Er V'Omed Shenema UVoMoshe Lo Omoed. And then it says Kol Neviim De Malach and so on. Moshe Rabbeinu Lo Yode Malach Shenemar Pe Opeda Berbo. So again, he's using this episode, V'tmunat Hashem Yabid, Klomer, She'ein Shamashal. And again, the background of this whole Rambam over here is the episode of Miriam. So now if you go back for a second, and first I want to read one more paragraph of Rav Soloveitchik, and then we'll tie it up. Back in Source 30, now the second paragraph. Aaron and Miriam, from the very outset, did not recognize the significance of the skula, which means it's this special, uniqueness element of Moshe. They didn't know that Moshe merited special attention, deserved to be treated separately. That is why the Torah warns us not to compare Moshe with other prophets. We also understand now why the Torah, while reminding us of the Miriam episode, adds words that a prima facie are necessary. Remember what God did to Miriam when you were on the way out of Egypt. We all know the locus of the Exodus. Why include this phrase? The Torah here tried to impress upon us that the whole Exodus never would have occurred had Moshe not been a prophet and leader beyond the reach of the imagination. To liberate the people from Egypt, the leader had to speak on behalf of the Holy One. Only Moshe could have achieved that distinction. Neither Aaron nor Miriam could. The skulag, a unique element in the Jewish people, was responsible for the fulfillment of the promise that God made to Avram. And the skul element in Moshe made it possible for an individual to represent the Almighty in acting to redeem the people. Remember, says the Torah, you're marching the promised land as you leave Egypt. You're taken out of the land of Egypt because he had a skula potential. I'm going to pause here for, and because the leader who took you out, who represents God, possesses the skula quality. Miriam denied it, and you just remember not deny it. The Rav then went in and said that that was the chayt of the Meraglim as well. They didn't realize the skula or the unique elements of the land of Israel, and figured we can stay in other lands, which means, yeah, Israel's a good land, but there are other lands that are good. Moshe's a prophet. There are other prophets that are good. But again, what I just now try to do is to take this teaching of Rav Soloveitchik and say something radical, namely, that he's right. Not only is he right, he's right in his reading of the Rambam. And that's why the Rambam couldn't possibly use the pasuk that the Ramban says, look, you forgot this one. The Rambam didn't forget it. He used it for something else. He used it for a different yesod. He used it for a different category. He used it to show the uniqueness of Moshe, which means, again, there is anima min. I believe in prophets, and I believe in the prophet of Moshe. That's a whole different level. Moshe is on this completely unique, the language there was skula, unique level. Which means it's interesting now to think about what exactly this zohar is. What do we remember? So in terms of the way that everything we had read up to, till we get to the Rambam, for the way that Rav Soloveitchik just said, why is it we need to remember what happened to Mary when we left Egypt? He's taking it back to the Rambam in terms of the way the Rambam is reading these verses, and he's saying this is all about Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, he understands that that zohar, which is sitting there, is actually one of the articles of faith. It's not just something that doesn't really fit in. It's one of the articles of faith. It's remembering the uniqueness of the nevuah of Moshe. The Ramban, on the other hand, learns this differently, and he understands the mitzvah of zohar is the same zohar that you have by Shabbos. You got to say Kiddush. You have to articulate it. The same kind of zohar that you have by Amalek. You have to read Parshas Amalek. Now, what would be the conclusion of the Ramban, the minimum would be, is that, I don't know how often, occasionally you need to read the Sikh Zichronot, because he says that's the takeaway from it. According to the Ramban, maybe you would even have a Parshat Zohar of Miriam that you'd have to read once a year, and we do read it once a year, so maybe you need to have Kavana to be Yotze and a Mitzvah Daraisa, according to what the Ramban is saying. And again, I'm not going any further into the halacha of this, but that's where the Ramban takes us. Did the Rambam forget this? No, he just didn't agree that that's what the pasuk meant. He felt the pasuk meant something fundamentally different. It wasn't telling us to remember about the laws of Lashon Hara. That he covered in a different place, the laws of Lashon Hara. The laws of Lashon Hara, the Rambam covered in terms of Lo Telech Rechil Bamecha. Yes, the Rambam, and again, the Ramban knows the Rambam wrote it there, but he thought that the word Zachar here created a whole different type of obligation. Okay, that's the point that the Ramban differs with. But as far as what is the content of this remembering about Miriam, we end up very, very different directions as what is it supposed to remember. Do you remember that Miriam spoke Lashon Hara? Or are you supposed to remember the Lashon Hara that she spoke? Which is, according to the Ramban, you're supposed to remember that she spoke Lashon Hara and be careful because she got Sarat, and the whole focus is Sarat. According to the Ramban, you're supposed to remember what she said, because what she said is something that can't be said, because you can't take away from Moshe Rabbeinu. And now if you go backwards to some of the sources that we read, you see some of them actually were focusing on the content of what she said and not merely the fact that, oh, look, she spoke Lashon Hara and she got Sarat. And they see something else. And that's why I'll say it again. What exactly is the focus over here? Is the focus the Sarat? Is the focus the Lashon Hara? Or is there a third possibility, and that is the focus is really the content of what she said, because what she said was something which we can't possibly say, because I'll say it again, because that would go against an article of faith. Because Moshe just wasn't a better Navi. Moshe was on a unique level when it came to his capacity of Nevuah.